walking by faith. And that's what we want to do. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So even when we don't know what's going on around us, you know, and we really don't know much. We know a lot more than a lot of people do simply because we sought God and He's revealed things to us. And He's given us the ability to see. The light of God, the light of His Word, just dispels the darkness. But there's a lot that we don't know, and so we walk by faith, trusting in the Lord every step of the way. Amen. So keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Yes. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd just like to mention we have our special communion service commemorating the Passover. Remember, Jesus died as our Passover lamb. And He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we take that seriously. That would be Saturday night. A week from Saturday, the 19th of April, we'll be having a special service here that night at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock prayer. And what a time it is when we can gather together and remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is what we believe in. And He is the atonement for all of our sins. He said, "This do in remembrance of me," and that's what we do in remembrance of Him. Amen. Just wanted to announce that. And who knows, this could be the last one. Amen. It's more likely to be the last one than any other one we've ever had. And there are a lot of strange things going on right now. I'm telling you, I'm already gathering information and going through things for the next newsletter, and I am absolutely stunned. As much as I have seen, I'm even more stunned at what I'm seeing right now. It's shocking. We are right near the shore. Just hold on, because there isn't far to go. And it won't be long, and these skies will be filled with the angels of God. Jesus said He would come in the glory and the power of heaven, and this earth is going to come in, going to find itself in the middle of a divine interruption. And all the busyness of this world is going to come to a screeching halt when our Savior appears. And in that day, Buddhism and Shintoism and Hinduism and Islam is all going to mean nothing.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what will happen when you get to the judgment day. All of that is going to be found as evil. People are going to know then. But you know, we can know now that Jesus is Lord, that He is King of Kings, that there is no God beside Him. You know, there's one thing that God doesn't know, and that's another God. Because there isn't any. Amen. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He said, "Beside me there is no Savior." Amen. He said, "There is none on my right hand, neither is there any on my left." So what do you see in these religious pictures? You got a God here with another God, another God, one on the right, one on the left, dove flapping around, and come on. That's not how it is, folks. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He manifested Himself in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus then, with the Spirit, the Creator of the universe dwelling within Him, when He hung on the cross of Calvary, He gave up the ghost. And that is the Holy Ghost that we receive because of what He did there. Amen. So yes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but one Spirit of God who manifests Himself in those offices. He is the Almighty. By the way, how many Almighties can you have? Amen. Jesus is the Almighty according to Revelation chapter 1. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Amen. Besides that, the Bible says that Jesus is the only wise God. The only wise God. Well, we can go a lot of directions from there. But anyway, I want to stay on task here. I had quite a day today. I've got 19 baptisms lined up now for the near future, and two weddings. So we're quite thrilled with Mike and Cynthia here. That's coming up the 3rd of May, isn't it? Yeah. And I can see they're just very excited about that. Praise the Lord. And we are too. That's great. And out in the state of Washington, there are 9 people that want to get baptized. And as far as we know, there's at least 9. There's probably more. And they want me to do a wedding out there. They found out that I was going to baptize these people. They said, well, will you do a wedding for us? So I called the Pierce County clerk, and I said, I don't want to do a wedding out there and then end up in jail somewhere because I don't know what your laws are. They said, in the state of Washington, we don't care who marries who. So he told me. He said, anybody off the street could perform a wedding. He said, doesn't matter to us. He said, if you sign that license, that's an affidavit that you were the officiant, that's all we care about. Can have anybody's name on it. I said, I heard Washington was liberal. I didn't think it was that liberal. And he kind of laughed, you know. And I said, I guess sometimes it works in our favor. And some of these places, some of these states, you have to jump through all these hoops, you know, and file this and registration and all that stuff. Not out there. It's really something. But anyway, we've got all these things lined up. We've got people coming in from Montana to get baptized, North Dakota, Missouri, lined all that up today. People have been calling me, wanting, you know, when can we come in and get baptized? We've got a man from all the way from Australia who was a 33rd degree Mason and an Illuminist and in all these different upper crust things, you know, the secret societies. And ever since he left that, the Lord brought him out of all of that. He knows he needs to be baptized now. And ever since he left, he said he hasn't been able to get work, and he's living in next to poverty right now. But he doesn't care because it's worth it. He can communicate with the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Amen. So he and his wife and daughter will be coming in here sometime this summer. I don't know if it's going to be June or July. But there are already 19 baptisms lined up, 2 weddings, and we're just getting started. I got a feeling all summer long we're going to be having water in that baptistry. So keep all those efforts in prayer. God is speaking to people. He's letting us know there's no time to fool around. And we've got to get ourselves out of the way and let the Spirit flow. You see, we want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what will He do? He'll quicken your mortal bodies when that last trumpet sounds. Romans 8:11, right? Amen, amen. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this book of 2 Peter, for this letter that Thou didst inspire. And I pray that Thou wouldst help us to have understanding of it and to rejoice in the truth of it, O Lord, because Thy Word is true. Lead us and guide us and direct us by Thy Spirit. Let Satan be unable to hinder us in any way. But let Thy Word freely go forth, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we thank Thee for it. Amen. All right. In this last chapter of 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter starts out by saying, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So he's saying, I'm going to stir you up here. Amen. And he's going to do that. I hope you can get stirred up regarding all of this. Because the subject at hand is the coming of the Lord. So he said, I'm going to stir up your pure remembrance. Now, how can a remembrance be pure if you confine it to the Word of God? We all have memories we wish we didn't have. It's all things we did we wish we'd never done. If you're honest, you'd have to admit that. But you know, if you confine your memory, and see, some people live in their past. And as children of God, we have to learn to not do that. And as the Bible tells us so clearly in Philippians, forgetting those things that are behind. Don't haul it back up to the present. If you threw it overboard, don't jump in after it. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So you, those things that you did before, they're gone. They've sunken like lead in the bottom of the sea of God's forgetfulness. They're just not there anymore. Doesn't exist anymore. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, praise the Lord. So, he's saying here, I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words. Mindful. Your mind is full of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So he's tying in the prophets. That's the Old Testament. Of course, you have the law and the prophets. Moses was also a prophet. So all the Old Testament, along with the commandments of us, the apostles, and what they wrote became the New Testament. You know, I had somebody tell me one time as a Church of Christ minister. He said, I'm going to baptize according to Matthew 28:19. I said, how do you do that? And he said, by saying the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, you're not obeying it. You may be quoting it, but you're not carrying it out. Because he said, use the name, singular. That's why in the book of Acts, they always use the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the name of the Lord. We are buried with Him in baptism. That His name is above every name. That His name has not only all the authority, but also all the power. But he said, well, he just couldn't get it. He said, I'd rather take the words of Jesus than the words of the apostles. I said, you know what? You've got a problem there, because everything we know about Jesus was written by the apostles. And they understood, and when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, repent, when they asked the question, that eternal question, that big question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that wasn't just for that day. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God has called you, He calls you to repentance. If God has called you, He's called you to baptism in His name. If God has called you, He's called you to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did He exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Don't go the way they're going. Don't go toward hell. You need to go toward heaven. They're untoward. They're going the wrong way. You don't want to go that way. They'll think it's strange that you run not with them. You are considered to be the weird ones, the odd ones, the peculiar ones. The Apostle Peter said another time, he said, for ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, he's telling us that we are to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first. Now, he's going to make this a priority for your knowledge. This needs to be at the top of your list in order for you to understand the last days. And I'm going to tell you something. There are churches that over the years talked about Bible prophecy and explored Bible prophecy. that no longer talk about it at all. Very, very few churches are emphasizing the return of our Lord Jesus. You know why? Here's what they do. They say, we're not going to worry about any of that kind of stuff. We're going to get all raptured out of here, so we might as well play our guitars, our electric guitar, strum the, you know, whatever instrument you got, pound on the drums, and go and have just a big free-for-all wild time blowout, because we're just going to get raptured out anyway. What, me worry? Huh? I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm out of here. And you know, Jesus said in John 17, when he prayed for us, I pray not, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. We know that our Lord will come at the last trump. Last trump. Last trump. Number 7, folks. Of course, Scofield says, well, you don't know that. See, Scofield was a 33rd degree Mason and a lawyer. There's 2 strikes against him. But see, he said, well, what happens is there's 2 different kinds of trumpets. See, they're always going to grab some other thing that isn't there. And so it's some other trumpet that doesn't include these other trumpets. These other trumpets are after this other trumpet. Hey, I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. The Bible's very clear. God didn't give it so that we get all confused. He laid it out very straight for us and appointed that it be read in churches. You know, I got on the radio one time. I used to have a radio program at WBEV, and John Klinger, the station owner, called me in one time. He said, we have gotten more calls from your program regarding your program than anything we've ever put on the airwaves. He said, we've gotten more complaints about what you're saying. And I said, well, where are they coming from? He said, all the other ministers in town. He said, they absolutely hate you. And so I'm just, you know, coming out there with the Bible. I don't know what their problem is. And I got on the radio one time, and we're getting the complaints from this First Lutheran Church up here, this pastor up there who was a doctor of theology. As a matter of fact, he got his doctor's degree in theology. He wrote a thesis. His doctoral thesis was entitled The Compatibility of Christianity with Eastern Religion. And they gave him a doctorate for that. They gave him a square hat, that Masonic mortarboard, and they gave him a robe to put on. And they graduated him out and gave him a DD degree. So he can hang that on his wall, then he knows everything, see? And I heard him get up and speak one time to the congregation, and he said that Jesus is the only one, hear this now, because you're not going to believe what you're going to hear, that Jesus is the only one who was ever sorry for his sins, and that's how we know his baptism was valid. Now, if Jesus was, how do these guys get in the pulpit, and you got all those Lutherans out there, and they don't say a word? Their pastor just announced to them that Jesus was a sinner, and they sit there and they're as quiet as a Texas oyster. You don't even get a nod out of them. Are they dead? I think so. Jesus never sinned, folks. So I got on the radio, and they were criticizing me for being in the book of Revelation. These Lutherans especially, they said, you know, He shouldn't be in the book of Revelation. Nobody should be in the book of Revelation. Nobody can understand Revelation. Look at the title of the book, Revelation. Something that's revealed. So I got on the radio and I said, any minister in this city or anywhere else that refuses to go into the book of Revelation has denied the faith, and they're a modern-day Judas Iscariot. Bang, there it was. He called me in and he said, he said, I'm going to have to tell you that when your contract is up, I'm not going to renew it, because they've gotten together and they said that they're going to contact the FCC and have my license pulled. Well, so be it. You know, I fulfilled the contract. I went through it. It was just about up. And he let me stay on until it was finished. That was the end of that. But, you know, what they did then is that First Lutheran Church up there, the pastor got up the next week after I said that and read one verse out of Revelation. Didn't comment on it, just read a verse. He said, there, we're in Revelation, you know, and that was it. I mean, these guys are a bunch of professionals that they don't care about souls. Nobody's going to convince me of that. And they certainly have no regard for the truth. It's whatever they learned at the seminary they graduated from. And I have a real problem with that. But I have a bigger problem with the people that sit there and say nothing. It's clearly a case of the blind leading the blind, and they all end up in the ditch, just like Jesus said would happen. Now watch what he says here. This is what we need to know first. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days... Are we in them? Any doubt? No. Not a bit. Okay? Knowing this first, that in the last... There shall come in the last days scoffers. That word, actually, scoffing there means a mocker. One who scoffs and mocks. Walking after their own lusts. Why are they scoffing? Why are they mocking? They're not living right. They're walking in evil. They're walking in error. And saying, now watch this, where is the promise of His coming? They're not saying, why hasn't He come yet? They're questioning, where is the promise of His coming? Notice, they admit in their statement that He promised He would come back. What they're doing is they're calling God a liar. That's what you do when you call a promise in question. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And you know what? You know what that tells me? People in the last days will tell you, well, everything continues as it was. It's not like it was. Nothing is like it was. It's drastically different, but they can't see it because they're blind. Notice, this is what they say. The Bible's telling us what they would be saying. And who are they? You might think, well, that must be the crowd down at the tavern. That must be the bunch of atheists out there. He's talking about professing Christians. You know how I know that? He's talking about pastors, professing Christians. They say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they don't know the meaning of the word or the first thing about it. And I'll tell you why I can say that. Notice their terminology. For since the fathers fell asleep. Doesn't say, they're not saying since our ancestors died. Since the fathers fell asleep. That is Christian terminology. You find that everywhere among true Christians, that you don't die, you fall asleep. To the world, it's death. To the world, you're laying in a casket, and so forth. But the Bible uses the terminology falling asleep when you leave this life. Why? Because you can't die if you're in Jesus Christ and if He is in you. He's the Prince of Life. Your body quits, but you're very much alive. And as soon as you leave this body, you're with Him forever. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. At that very instant. Amen. So what are they saying here? These scoffers. Now isn't that something? You got churches full of people that are so busy boogieing around to the beat of the drum. And so busy with their socials and their bingo parties and their pie eating contests and whatever else they do and peanut brittle making and you name it, they do it. And all of the things they got going for them. That they're totally oblivious to the coming of the Lord and they really don't want to hear about it because they like where they are, they like what they're doing, they're feeding the flesh, ignoring their soul, ignoring the Spirit of God. And when truth comes in, what happens? It upsets them. And they don't want to talk about the coming of the Lord. Where is the promise of His coming? It's just not to be found among them that we can see. Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation? I don't think so. Everything has changed now and is rapidly changing and overlapping every day. You know, I have a little problem with our U.S. House of Representatives right now. Well, really, it's House of Representatives, but I think we could call it a House of Representatives. Look what they're spending on the Iraq war. Iraq alone, $5,000 a second. Every time the clock ticks, $5,000. You get a minute, and then an hour, and 24 of those hours in a day. $5,000 a second to blow holes in the sand. And the Iraqi army that's supposed to be on our side, 1,000 of them laid down their arms and said, we're not fighting anymore. And McCain says, we may be there 100 years. You know, there is no choice at all in the matter anymore. We can turn to Jesus, but nothing in this world, that's for certain. You know, here's the problem I have with our U.S. House of Representatives. Originally, when the government was set up, you had checks and balances. You had the executive power, the president. You had, in the legislative power, you had the Senate, where there were two senators from every state, total of 100 if you have 50 states. And then you had the House of Representatives from the different districts within the states, and they were elected by the people. Senators were not elected by the people. Senators were elected by the state legislatures. They represented the state when the state had a voice, when the state could object, when the state, the sovereign state, had a power within the federal government. But way back there around the turn of this last century, this goes back over 100 years now, they brought out something called direct election of senators, where they took that away from all the states and gave it to the people. And the people said, isn't that wonderful? Now we got all that power. And people are so deceived so quickly. You know, they say this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's the land of the deceived and the home of the depraved. Come on. People are led down the path. They believe whatever the government tells them. Oh, I know, that's true. The government told me. Huh? Who are we following anyway? And, you know, it's the right and the duty of every American to call, bring forth the issue, and call out for righteousness and for truth. And to call and question anything that's wrong. This isn't insurrection. I'm not being a rebel here. I'm just saying they're wrong in what they're doing. And they know they're wrong in what they're doing. And what they have done, see, now they took that voice away from the state, so you got the senators and representatives all elected by the people, a sheeple people, that are so dumbed down and so brainwashed through the televisions, through the movies, through the news media, through the things that they read and ingest into their minds. It's a pathetic thing. Most people are walking around in total ignorance today of any truth at all. They just don't have it. They've not been exposed to it. And that's why when you expose them to it, they look at you like a mule looks at a new gate. Somehow, it doesn't fit into any of the little chinks in their mind. By that, I'm not after the Chinese here. I'm just the little spaces in the mind. You used to be able to call those little spaces chinks. Use the word chink now and they think you're attacking the Chinese. But not so. That's not my intent here. They can be saved too. Boy, do they need it. But you know, I don't want to get on that one because this nation of Red China and how they could have ever been given by Bill Clinton, been given the most favored trade status. And he bankrupted our country, and then George Bush came along for the coup de grace and rammed the dagger right into the heart and twisted it a few times. Our economy is about dead. Anyway, what happened in the House of Representatives is last month, I believe it was the 13th, They had a what they call a closed door session. Nobody could know what they were talking about. Now, wait a minute. Now, there have been four of those in all of history. The whole history of our country, only four times. And one of them was last month. They closed the doors. The media couldn't report anything. They think nobody knows, except now they're having trouble because people have found out. Like it says in the Bible, a little bird told me, and I happen to have one. I have a talking bird. You know the Bible says birds talk? A bird of the air shall tell thee. You know? Well, what they did is, and CNN, the Clinton News Network, CNN did verify this, and so did Fox News and the other mainstream media, that yes, they did have a closed-door session. And according to resolution number 20, any representative who discloses what they talked about is up for immediate expulsion. That's how serious they are about word not getting out. What's the purpose of a secret meeting? To hide evil. They're your representatives, and they don't want you to know anything about what they're doing. Does that make any sense? How can they represent you if they're operating in secret, and in fact, even against you? We have got the finest U.S. Congress that money can buy. And they are bought. How many of them are millionaires? They weren't when they went in, but they are now, and they don't make that much money. Where did they get it? We have to ask that question. I had the exact numbers on it at one time. I don't know where it is today, but I don't think it's gotten any better. Anyway, in this closed session, I looked on the news, I searched everywhere, I couldn't find what they did in their meeting. I had heard that word had leaked out. And some of them suspect that Ron Paul leaked it out, representative from Texas, but they can't prove it. But some, and I think some of these brand new freshman representatives were shocked at what they heard. But somehow some things leaked out. You know how I found out what's going on here in our country? In that closed door session? Where the sergeant of arms stands at the door, just like the Tyler stands there in the Masonic Lodge, and nobody gets in? I had to go to Australia. And some mainstream news media from Australia, they carried the story. That's pathetic. You got to go to Australia to find out what's happening here. We complained about Russia, you know, being in bondage because of Pravda and TASS, you know, the communistic news services over there, propaganda of the people, and we talk about Herr Goebbels in World War II, the Nazi propaganda machine. That was nothing compared to what we've got here. They're doing a number on people. Uncle Scam is constantly lying to the people, concealing and never revealing, because they've taken an oath to do it in the lodge, to always conceal and never reveal, upon no lesser penalty of having my throat cut from ear to ear. Remember? They've promised and vowed to keep you in darkness. Why? Because to control a people, you have to do it with lies. The truth shall make you free. Lies bring bondage. That's how you control people. You get them to believe a lie. You perpetuate that lie. And you control people with it. So anyway, here's what they did. They got in that meeting, and the news media did report this much over here in this country, that it was in regard to new surveillance techniques to be used on the American people. And after that, they said nothing. The Australian news media reported more. Not only that, but they said that they were dealing with the issue of complete economic failure and bankruptcy in the United States in September of this year. And a complete change in the U.S. government to a new form of government in February of 2009. And How do we deal with the rioting there's going to be in the streets? When the money is canceled, and they said their exact words were, and the imminent merger of Mexico and Canada with the United States produces the new Amero dollar. They said, how are we going to deal with the blood in the streets and the rioting in the streets of our cities and the retaliation against the government and the members of Congress? That was their agenda. Can you see why it was a closed door session? They couldn't put that on CNN, now could they? Remember, Henry Kissinger made the statement a while back, a number of years ago, in fact. He said, in regard to California, they were running a special test. They had UN troops in California, in some of the cities there. And people complained about it. And he said, if there are UN troops in the streets of this country, foreign troops, he said, you may complain about it now, but the day is coming when you'll welcome it. And at a meeting that they had in France between a number of the heads of state, including our State Department, and this goes back a number of years now, one of the French Illuminists stood up and he said, you Americans, you talk about rights, rights, rights. Very soon you'll find out what it means to have no rights. Will people stand for it? You know, back in the days of Senator Robert Abernathy, when the income tax thing just was getting started, he said, I think that what we should do is put a ceiling on income tax that it could never be more than 5%. And the laughter rang out throughout all the whole Senate chamber. And one of the senators stood up and said, Senator Abernathy, the American people would never stand for paying more than 5%. And they didn't even entertain the thought. Because they said people would revolt, they'd never stand for it. And Senator Abernathy died of rectal cancer not long thereafter. And when the janitor was cleaning his chair, he felt a lump in the chair. And when they opened it up, they found out that there was an amount of radium underneath the lining in the cushioning of his chair, constantly giving off radiation, giving him rectal cancer. They offed him. They got all kinds of ways that they do it. Now, do you think it was a coincidence they had pure radium in his chair? I don't think so. So you can see there's a lot of shenanigans going on. But if, now God's in charge. I mean, He could change their timetable. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but they think it is. And we all know something strange is going on. Food prices are rising exponentially. And, you know, people still haven't figured out. They say, oh, more money. They're going to send me a check. More money, more money. And they turn on the money pumps and Bernanke turns the crank and the money comes pouring out. The government will help you. We're going to bail everybody out. We're going to bail out all the business. Do you know that there are over 100 major corporations in our country right now on the verge of bankruptcy? And all of this, he turns on the money pump, more money, more money, more money. Do you realize that when you pump more money out, that all of it is worth less, and all prices go up proportionately as the amount of money goes up. They drive the prices up. And food prices before the end of this year will double. Just watch it. The other nations are bidding high for American food, and we're selling it to them because we're greedy. They don't care who eats and who doesn't eat. If they control the food and they can sell it for more in India and more in China, they'll sell it to India and China. Our reserves are at the lowest they have ever been right now. And we've got drought in many areas of the country. And there is a shortage. But they're planting a lot of corn so they can turn it into alcohol. so that we don't have to buy oil from the Arabs? That's the story, isn't it? And it takes a gallon and a half of fossil fuel to produce a gallon and a half of it to produce 1 gallon of ethanol. Now you tell me that makes sense? They are absolutely bankrupting this nation. And they're doing it on purpose because they plan to bring forth a new world order. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. There's a reason why the Pope is coming to New York next month and received that bouquet of flowers from that little girl and has been presented as God on earth in the headlines of the newspapers. That little girl is going to meet in the Staten Island Advance and the New York Post. They said this, the headlines on it, this little girl is going to meet God on earth. And they call him the Holy Father. Well, well, well. Things are pretty far gone, I would say. So are things, you know, I said all that just to say this. Do all things continue as they were, or have things changed a little bit? They've changed a whole lot. We are watching the demise of a nation and a world at the behest of Satan, the one they call Lucifer. A new world order. Remember old Adolf Hitler? He always talked about new world. We'll bring the world to order. Everybody say, Sieg Heil! Remember? Did you ever see any of those old films? I understand German. I'm fluent in German. I can listen to those things, those Hitlerian speeches, and it sounds just like what our politicians are saying right now. And old Adolf would be there, and Heil! Heil! And it'd all lockstep and join arms, and Ein, 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 Ein. One, 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 one. All the Hitler youth, and they're getting into this thing and doing it. They start gyrating around. And come on, we got it all over again now, except it's a whole lot worse. So yeah, these are strange and amazing times. But Hitler constantly talked about the New World Order. That was his, and back then everybody knew it. If you remember back to the time of World War II, that was all over the news, Hitler's New World Order. He said, we'll bring forth a new world order, we'll put mankind in its place. And Hitler, you know, when he learned, did you know he took lessons on how to talk with his hands? And if you ever watched his speeches, he's not only speaking, but he's, you know, as he'll make a point, like this, and like this. He's moving his hands, and they taught him how to do that hypnotically so that he could emphasize the points to his crowd and they would take hold of his words. He was trained in that. Watch these politicians. Here's another one that gets me. You have these guys get up and they'll talk about the ordinary American. We are for the ordinary American. Well, what do they mean by that? They're extraordinary. You're just ordinary. You're too dumb to know what's good for you. But don't worry, they've got that planned out for you. They will tell you what kind of a religion to have. They say if there's one religion, there won't be any squabbling. It'll all be one. If there's one world army, one world navy, one world currency, one world everything, then there's nothing to fight about. And you know, they've already chosen an anthem for the new world order. You know, they've got these different national anthems. By the way, the national anthem of the United States is the only one that I know of. And I've studied, made a study of this. It's the only one that deals with wars and bombs bursting in air and the rockets' red glare. It's that the only time that tells our flag is still there. Hey, they did that on purpose. Wherever you see the American flag, you're going to see bombs bursting. You're going to see war going on. Come on. The other ones don't have, they're nothing like that. Not even Russia. I'm just giving you a fact. We've been told we're the good guys, and I say there are no good guys. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't have any national pride for any nation. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Things are not as they always were. Things have changed, folks. But the world anthem, the new anthem for the entire world is, and it's been selected by a UN committee, Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell beneath us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions and no religion, too. Did you ever listen to the words to that? And people think it's great. Now guess who? A Canadian group came along with that song, Maybe I'll Be There to Shake Your Hand, Maybe I'll Be There to Share the Land They'll Be Given Away When We All Get Together. Like it's going to be a wonderful thing. They take everything away from you and distribute it equally. So they say. No, things are not as they were. And I said all of that to emphasize that point from verse 4. The world believes a lie, but we know better. Verse 5 says, For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So where did the earth come from? And the heavens? The word of God. What holds the universe together? The word of God. What is centrifugal force? Inertia of motion. Inertia of rest. Gravity. What are all of these forces? The Word of God. They're a response to the Word of God. Man discovers it and calls it a science, but God made it. And therefore God can overrule it. Iron can swim, as it did in the days of Elisha. How about that? He changed the laws of physics in that instance. God is in control. So what he's saying here is that the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So the earth actually, remember there was nothing but water at first and then the dry land appeared. And then, later on, God split the continents, split the earth rather into continents. That's why if you look at a stereographic projection, a map with the world pulled apart, it looks like a jigsaw puzzle. You can put it all together again. Africa fits into South America, and if you scrunch it all together, there's a few spots that don't work, but that's because they're islands, and some of them have sunken down into the sea, and there's one piece missing, and they call it the continent of Atlantis, the lost continent. And they've actually found that. Over there by the Bermuda Triangle, and then on beyond it. That's another subject. But anyway. So he says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Notice how he draws a parameter here. He's talking about a world that was and a world that is now. And there is another world to come. Three dimensions of time, was, is, and is to come. And Jesus is the God that was and is to come. The Almighty. Okay, so the world that was is gone. It was flooded out. Everything died except the remnant of the animals and eight people saved by water. And that same water destroyed everybody else. That's a historical fact. There was a flood. I won't get into how we know that. The Bible tells us that, but you know, what do they tell? I'll give you one example. Grand Canyon. They say the Colorado River cut the Grand Canyon over millions and millions and millions of years. And they'll tell you that, I mean, they use all the zeros they want. Zeros aren't anything anyway. Throw in another handful. Why not make it billions? That Colorado River did not cut that Grand Canyon. You can look at the basalt that's in there. You can look at the upthrusts and so forth. What did that was a gully washer. The water covered the entire earth 15 cubits above the highest mountain. When that started to shift around to form the oceans and everything, and the continents later on broke apart, there was rushing water like you wouldn't have believed. And Water weighs a pound per pint. There's a lot of weight there. And you have literally billions of gallons of rushing water. That's what cut the Grand Canyon. Not a little river slowly moving through it. Carlsbad Caverns, Cave of the Rock, or Cave of the Mounds, rather, over there at the southern part of the state. That's a lot of force cutting through there. That was from the flood. Fossils and the fossil record. All fossils are in one strata, the Cambrian strata. All in one period of time. The fossils are all formed the same year. And you find fish with their fins, their backs arched. They got suddenly caught. Mud hit them and bang, they were fossilized. Just like that. Trilobites, which are believed now to be extinct, look like little bugs, but they're pretty good sized. And all these fossils that they have all the same year. But they're not going to admit that to you. But it's a scientific fact. Anyway, so it was overflowed with water and it perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. So what destroyed the earth before? The word of God, right? What's holding it together right now until that day come? The word of God. The same word that you love, by which you are saved, and that abides in your heart. That's what's holding this world together and nothing else. It certainly isn't the intelligence and cleverness of the Illuminati. See, they take credit for it. Isn't that great? I mean, they take credit for the condition the world is in. They say that God made it. Well, they don't call him God. They call him the supreme architect of the universe. And he made all of this. He wound it up like a clock and threw it out there and it's running by itself. And he left it up to us, the initiated elite, those who possess the Ein Sof, the inner wisdom. We run it. That's what they believe. They're elitists. But it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know what that says? God's saving up all of his wrath for one big event, and boy, are they going to get theirs. All of this queer, weird stuff. You know, in this country, you can't even talk like you used to anymore. Now, the homosexuals can refer to themselves as queer, but don't you do it, because they'll have you arrested. There was a man in Madison witnessing for the Lord to some homosexuals. And he didn't call them names. He just witnessed to them and told them Jesus would take that away from them and give them a new life. They turned him in. And he was fined in court $7,000. Because of the genocide treaty trying to wipe out the homosexuals. They call him a homophobe. Homophobia. Fear of homosexuals. Hey, I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like what they do. But that's what it has come to. There was a woman put an ad in the Madison paper. She was looking for a handyman and preferred a Christian. She was fined for discrimination. This is Looney Tunes, folks. But they're getting away with it because these liberal judges take their little walnut crackers and bang it on there and fine them, right? That little hammer they've got, these judges, that, you know, they're Masonic judges. These are Masons. They've taken an oath to be partial and another one to be impartial. Every one of them's a liar. And if I ever have to stand in front of one, they'll hate my guts for saying so, but they're a liar. If you take an oath to be impartial and partial. I know a man that had to go to court one time because of what he believed. And before he started, he said, Your Honor, I've got one question for you. He said, are you a Mason? And he said, well, yes, I am. He said, then you have no authority to judge me. Well, they went ahead and did it anyway. Because he called them on it. People aren't supposed to know that. It's amazing. It really is. Our country, in case nobody else has told you, I'll tell you, we've lost our country. It's gone. It's done. We've had it. There's no turning around. We're just waiting for the Lord to come. Amen. You're not going to fix it. You're not going to vote anybody in that's going to fix it. It's absolutely cooked. Sayonara. Auf Wiedersehen. Arrivederci. I like that. He didn't even say goodbye. But anyway, that's where we're at. And so it says, God is storing up His judgment, and it's in the form of fire. He's not going to flood it with water this time. He's going to flood it with fire. Upon a spiritually blind people, even as the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah were blinded by their lust and homosexual activity. So, verse 8 says, but beloved, now He's talking to us who know the Lord. Be not ignorant of this one thing. Again, calling attention to one very important thing that should be paramount in importance to our understanding. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The way God looks at things, from His vantage point, you know, He even built that into the creation. I remember I've flown all over the United States. The highest altitude I was ever at was 41,000 feet on a United flight. And I'd look out the window and I'd see all the chem spray out there above the clouds. There was a layer of gray, sticky stuff above the clouds all over where they were seeding the pollution and all that. We know about chemtrails and all the increase in asthma, upper respiratory trouble, and it's real. They're doing it. I've seen it. But you look down from 41,000 feet, and cars that are flying down the road 70 miles an hour are just crawling from that vantage point. The big fields are like little patchwork squares. Everything's moving, but it looks very slow. From God's vantage point, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. When did Jesus die on the cross? About 2,000 years ago. It's like the day before yesterday as far as God's concerned. That's why as long as there's a church in this world, including right now in the year 2008, Calvary was just the day before yesterday in the mind of God, which shows that His power is the same. It exerts the same ability to forgive sins, to wash away sins, to change lives. We're within the scope of that 3 days and three nights, right in the middle of the gospel. Because as far as God is concerned, it happened the day before yesterday. A day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. And so He says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. And that bothers me. I hear some of these preachers use this expression, boy, you're slow. You're as slow as the coming of the Lord. You know, you'd like to give them a Chinese haircut. You know what that is. You get them, get their head between your arm, and you rub your knuckles in their head. Just like the, you know, you can't do it, but that doesn't mean you can't think about it. And do them good, I think. But anyway, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. The very people that are saying, why doesn't He come? If He's going to come, why doesn't He come? What's He waiting for? He's waiting for you to shut up and repent and get right and quit being that way. Better be glad He didn't come yet. Instead of mouthing off about it, get right with God. See, what's He waiting for? It says right here, He's long-suffering. He's patient to usward. It's for our benefit. He hasn't come yet. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See how gracious He is? There are still some there yet that are going to come in. And somebody, and this is quite an awesome thought, somebody's going to be the last one. Wouldn't it be something to be the last one? The last one in? It's going to be somebody, and nobody knows. But this is why He hasn't yet come. There are still people coming in. But the day of the Lord will come. See that? It will come. As a thief in the night. Why does He use the analogy of a thief in the night? This is just an analogy. It simply means that a thief is never going to let you know when he's coming. A thief needs the element of surprise. A thief needs darkness to work in. Simply because he wants his what he's coming in to do there. This is the way a thief operates. That he's got to have that. He can't let you know. He's not going to send you a postcard saying, "Hey, I'm going to hit your place tonight at 10 o'clock or whatever." And so the Lord is saying, He's not being analogous to a thief, but He's saying His coming will be like that, unannounced. You're not going to know. And these people will say, like Jack Van Impe's got it figured out now. Jack Van Impe said that he knows exactly when the Lord is coming. He announced it on his television program. He's got it right down to the day and down to the hour. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, no man knoweth the day or hour. Now, how did Jack Van Impe find out? But you know what that does? It sells books. It brings in money. Oh, Dr. Jack, he's got the whole New Testament memorized. Well, he better start looking at it to see what it says. I could work with my bird and he could memorize it. If I worked with him long enough. No, it's a good share of it anyway. You can quote Bible verses now. But I'm just saying that you can know what something says, but that doesn't mean you believe it or can apply it properly. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. And I'll tell you this, Dr. Jack Van Impe is very, I don't know if he's a Mason, but he's very sympathetic toward them. I remember when he had a special guest. He had Colonel Harlan Sanders, Mr. Chicken. Right? Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Multi-millionaire. He had him on his program, came out with his white southern suit on, you know, a little beard and mustache. He said, "I want to introduce him to you as a great Christian, 33rd degree Mason in a Scottish Rite." And he didn't renounce it. I remember Dr. Jack Van Impe saying, "Okay, here's... we got a special guest, the true Christian brother, and it was some Catholic bishop. But because it's Dr. Jack, it's all right." The Bible says God regards no man's person. And Jimmy Swaggart, one time he had all these people that gave money sitting there, but there was one woman gave him $1 million, personal gift of $1 million. And he ignored everybody else and he had her stand up and had her parade down the front and clapping and making a big deal out of this woman that gave him $1 million. There might have been a woman out there that had a $5 bill in her cookie jar and gave the last one. What about her? See, God doesn't judge you by how much you put in, but by how much you have left. I'm still listening. Praise the Lord. It's true. Remember what Jesus said? This woman, you all cast in of your abundance, but she cast in all her living. No wonder she was blessed. I'll tell you what, God doesn't let that go unrewarded. If you believe in Him at all, you have to believe that. Amen. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, the Word of God tells us then that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, unannounced, in other words, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There they go, all the cities, all the industry, all the universities, all the high-rises, including the one that they're building, if they ever get it done, the one that they're building in the UAE, down in Dubai. Actually, in a new city, they didn't say what they're going to name the new city yet. A tower a mile high and build a new city around the tower. Genesis chapter 10, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. When I saw the headlines in the news article where they told about it, I think it was Reuters or one of those, they called it the Tower of Babel. A mile high tower. 5,280 feet high. Four times the height of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. And a city with it. Where did the U.S. wealth go? Somebody got it. When you dig a hole in the ground, that sand went somewhere. Come on. All right? But it's all going to be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. 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 What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, conversation there actually means conduct. And of course, the way you speak is conduct as well. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. So we are looking and we are hastening. In other words, we are anxiously anticipating it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for it. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And you better have risen to meet him in the air when that takes place, or you're going to be right in the middle of it. We're not going to be carried off to some big old dinner, but we'll rise to meet him in the air at the last trump. And the graves will be opened. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. That's what we're looking for, not the old one. Not some patched up mess destroyed by sociopaths and illuminists. But we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not a new world order, a new earth. One that God made, untouched by human hands and untainted by the pseudo-ingenuity and wickedness of man's satanic intellect. Verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. That means faithful, apply yourselves. That ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, you might say, that's a tall order. How can I be without spot and blameless? Never through your effort, never through mine, but through the blood of Jesus. Stay under the blood. That's what it means here. To be found without spot and blameless, you must be under the blood of Jesus. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay under the blood. That's where security is. That's where peace is. That's where salvation is. And I'll tell you what, people need to hear these things. When I preach at memorial services, sometimes called funerals, or when I preach at weddings, this is what people get. It might be the only time they ever hear it. And you know, some of them come up to me and say, you know, I've seen people literally shake. Some say they appreciate it, and I've heard some people say, I don't think that was appropriate for a wedding, talking about that, so it shouldn't be done at a wedding. Shouldn't talk that way at a funeral, you know. What are they trying to do anyway? How disrespectful. Talk about the Lord's coming at a funeral. Huh? Well, never ceases to amaze me. Verse 15 says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. The fact that He's so patient with me, that's my salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Paul was so deep, wasn't he? Some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also other scriptures, the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Rest there means to twist. Comes from a Greek word meaning to twist. They twist the scriptures. If they're unlearned, they're unstable, they're ignorant, they twist scriptures. Scripture twisting. The first church of the pretzel, right? As they do also other scriptures to their own destruction. Now, by the way, if you ever talk to a Catholic priest, well, you probably wouldn't, because he wouldn't want to hear what you've got to say. But the Catholic priest will generally tell people who want to read the Bible, if they desire to read the Bible, he'll say, you've got to be careful with that. He'll say, because, and he'll take them to this verse. It's one of the only verses the priest knows. You'll wrestle with that verse, and it'll be to your destruction. Because you don't know. You're basically ignorant. You are unlearned. We went to the priest school. You know, we know. And so you, and they don't know the Bible. They don't know the first thing about the Bible. And so they tell you, they put a fear in you. You're going to get all mixed up. You can go insane from reading the Bible. They'll tell people that. No, they're the ones insane. You could go sane from it. That's what they're worried about. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, we have notice in advance, right? Been forewarned. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So, in other words, it's good that we know these things. We're not going to be led away. Some have been. And it does happen all the time, sadly. But they're led away with the error of the wicked. Some will deny the name of Jesus in baptism after they've received it. What a terrible thing that'll be at the judgment day. And then teach others also to do that. There's no other power but in the name of Jesus. And outside of His name, there is no salvation. Verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Isn't that awesome? The Lord has told us so much in this holy book. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this Bible study tonight. We praise Thee, Lord, because Thy Word has made us free. We thank Thee that we know these things are happening, even though they're distressing to hear. Thou didst say through Thy prophet Isaiah that it would be a grief to even hear the report of it. But Lord, we have freedom in Thy kingdom, and Thou hast given us the promises that we embrace, and Thy coming is nigh at hand. So we look to Thee, O Lord, thankfully and ready to obey. Lead us and direct us in Thy perfect way. And we give Thee the praise and glory, the worship, the honor. And I pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst drive out the devil from ever being able to hinder us. Keep us on the straight and narrow path and in the way everlasting. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.